I just appreciate you all being here this morning. This morning, the title of my message is a question. And it was a question, actually, that the disciples asked in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you want to turn to that, you can. To whom shall we go? And maybe in our everyday language, what should we do? Where should we go? What should we do? Where should we go? To whom shall we go? Something was happening here. I think I'll just read the portion here that I have in John 6, verse 60 through 71, and then I'll make just a few more comments on that. This is where the main text of my message comes from this morning. John chapter 6, verse 60, it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou and art sure that thou art the Christ, that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Here we have the disciples with Jesus. The disciples, when it's talking about the disciples, it wasn't only the 12 disciples. There was a whole group of people that were also called his disciples that were gathered around him that day. And he was talking to them. If you go back previously in the chapter, he was talking about him being the bread of life that came from heaven. And if you go back in verse 43, and actually even all the way back to verse 35, verse 32 talks about this manna that was given to the children of Israel, and he gives himself as an example that I am this man, I am the manna, the bread of life. I am come down from heaven, and this manna that you ate back in the wilderness, that it fed your stomachs, it took care of your daily needs in that way. But this bread, if you eat of me, it's going to give you satisfaction and it's going to satisfy the soul, the longing of your soul for all eternity, if you put your trust in him. And that whole concept, that whole thing was a struggle for them to understand. And going all the way on from that point, from verse 32 all the way down through to where we started reading, Jesus was telling them this, and the disciples, the people there, responded to him, but numerous times, well, the first time they were like, go ahead and give us some bread. The next time they were murmuring at him, and because he was claiming to be this bread. You know, they were thinking of something other than Jesus. Well, Jesus said, I am that bread. That's really who I am. And so this was hard for them to understand. And later on, again, in verse 52, they asked the question, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were still struggling with this thing, this hard saying that that Jesus was telling them. But Jesus just went on and explained it more, explained it even further. But finally, there were those there with the disciples. They just had enough. They just had enough. And Jesus asked the question, doth this offend you? You know, they took offense for the words that Jesus spoke. The truth that Jesus was sharing with them, they chose to take offense by that. And they parted ways. They chose to go the other way. And then Jesus, of course, asked the question, you know, does this offend you? You know, what about some of these other things that would come if I would say this? If maybe be more plain about some about him going up to heaven and where he was before. Those things were hard for them. But Peter was, Jesus then asked the 12. This was when he turned to the 12 then, when the others were leaving. A lot of the others were leaving. A lot of that influence, that peer pressure was there to just leave. Jesus turned to the 12 disciples and he asked that question, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? And Peter's response was, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? And I'd just like to ask that question again. To whom shall we go? You know, this morning we are faced with questions. We are faced with people going away, turning their hearts away from God. We see it all around us. We see friends. We see loved ones. We see family choosing to go their own way because the way of the cross is too hard. Because following the Lord is too hard. The things that the Lord has taught us is too hard for us to accept. And so they choose to go away. And so Jesus may ask us the question, will ye also go away? And it's a good question for us to ask ourselves, just like Peter was asking it, or he was asking it, but he already knew in his heart. Here it says, to whom shall we go? Where else can we go? Really, there's no other place for us to find what we're looking for. There's no other place for us to find what we're looking for but in Jesus Christ. And until that becomes settled in our heart, we're going to be troubled. We're going to wander this way, and we're going to wander that way. We're going to try to follow this man or this person or that person. Or we're going to follow maybe our own self even, just our own ideas. And try to find security in that. But we're going to be wandering. We're going to be wandering around until we come to the place where Peter did. Where else can we go? Where else can we go for our help and for our need? It's in Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can truly meet that need. Again, we are faced with that question over and over and over in our life. Many little decisions come our way. To whom shall we go? What should we do? I have basically 3 points in this that I'd like to just draw our attention to. First of all, there's a dilemma. And then there's a decision. So there's a dilemma. And there's a decision. And after that decision, if that decision is made around, or if it's made based on Jesus Christ, on his word, and if we make the right choice, it brings security and rest to our soul. Now, of course, that's not the. We won't find this security and rest if we get stuck with the decision and we make the wrong one. But I'd like to just for us to think about that. You know, there's lots of times when we are faced with things that are overwhelming. I'd like to just look at Mark chapter 4 really quickly here. Mark chapter 4. Hope to get some thoughts out of that there. This is the story of the sower that had gone out to sow, but I'd like to just catch that one little picture there where those seeds had fallen onto the rocks, the stones there. And so the seeds had fallen there and on the rocks there. In verse 16 and 17, Jesus is explaining what happens there. And he said, "These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." You know, that's what happened with those disciples when they were there with Jesus there, and Jesus was telling them, this is how, if you want to partake of me, you need to partake of, or if you want to have this bread, you need to partake of me. And this was just hard for them to understand. And sometimes things are hard for us to understand. Sometimes things are hard for us to receive, when especially maybe how, depending how the truth comes to us, sometimes it's not easy for us to receive it. But perhaps we receive the word of God initially, maybe when we hear of the gospel and we hear the word of God and we hear about Jesus forgiving our sins and Jesus wanting to dwell in our hearts and bringing peace. And so that sounds like a really good idea, and we're all excited about that. And we reach out in faith and we're like, sure, I want to be a follower of God because it makes me happy. It makes me there's joy and there's fulfillment. But when the trial and the temptation comes, the dilemma hits us, what happens? What are we going to do? To whom shall we go? What are we going to do when that dilemma hits us? When that trial, that temptation faces us, are we going to be like those that were on the stony ground? When they heard the word, they receive it with gladness. And so there's an element of us in us that we gladly receive it, but we're not willing to go all the way. We're not willing to go all the way. or are we going to be faithful even if that persecution comes? Even if that hard thing, that trial, that thing that could cause us to struggle, are we going to be faithful? So we have that dilemma, and some of the dilemma is some of the dilemma that we face today, just in a very practical way. There's people, of course, when life gets tough, especially in relating to church life, brotherhood. When life gets tough, what often happens is people stop meeting together. I've seen that many times in my growing up years, and even more recently, where people become discouraged with brotherhood relating to each other and so forth. And so when we get in hard times, what happens? What often happens is people end up going home and just say, I'm done with church. I'm done with church. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when that time hits us? When that hits close home? What do we do? What do I do? Jesus also warns us in Matthew 24:12. He talks about in the last days there's going to be there's many whose love is going to wax cold. And why is that? It's because iniquity is going to abound. In other words, there's a lot more sin around us. And because of me finding out that a very, very close friend of mine just turned his back on the Lord, it can be so, so discouraging that we can lose our faith in God, and our love for the Lord can wax cold if we let it if we are not careful. And so that's the dilemma that we are faced with. But what are we going to do with this dilemma? What are we going to do with this problem? What are we going to do at the time of problem? It's a very important question for us to know, to let our roots go down deep in the Word of God and in Jesus, in our faith in Jesus Christ. It's very, very important because we're all going to face dilemma. We're all going to, and dilemma, just to, for you younger children, it's just a problem. It's a problem. Dilemma, in a simple word, is a problem. We face problems in our life all the time. We're living in perilous times. Of course, Peter talks about that. He talks about in the last days there's going to be perilous times where they're going to be lovers of their own selves. They're not going to be, they're going to be heady. They're going to be high-minded. They're going to be, there's going to be people that won't appreciate God-given authority. And some of that God-given authority is the policeman even out there. They're not going to appreciate those things. They're going to be, and also Jude talks about they're going to be talking evil of dignities, those that are in authority, God has placed in authority. You know, there's a lot of that stuff going on, and it will go on. So these are problems we face today, and it can cause us to become distressed and perhaps just feel like doing like the rest of the disciples did. There, some of the disciples did, just walked off. Many of the disciples walked off. Many of them did not continue following the Lord because they were discouraged, because it was a hard time. They faced that problem, and I believe it was because they did not really know Jesus. They did not really, had not really let their faith be built upon Him. What about when the storms of life come? They will face us all sooner or later. We're all going to face the storms of life. We're all going to face those things that are not so pleasant in our life. And sometimes it's in our family life. Sometimes it's in us relating to each other as families. Sometimes it's in us relating to other brothers. Sometimes it's in business. Sometimes it's not so good. But I think of what Jesus also talked about, the wise man that built his house on the rock. And he had a foundation. The foolish man did not have much of a foundation. He was on the sand. He was not built on the rock. And so when those storms come, that will show what really we are built on when we face those problems. So to whom shall we go? That question that Peter asked is a good thing for us to think about. We will face that dilemma, but what then? What's our response? When we face that dilemma, what's our response? So we come to that decision point. We come to that place where there's either, often there's many decisions on a highway. And when you're driving along a road, if you come to a T in the road, sometimes life is like this. And this road, you know, goes off, winding off that way, and this road goes off this way. But you come up in this spot here. You come to that stop sign. You come to the T. And you either turn right or left. Well, sometimes you also come to a road that's not quite such an obvious, maybe almost doesn't even quite seem so much like a decision. You know, you come to a Y in the road, but we face a lot of those decision points, and so we're there. And now, which way should we go, right or left? What should we do? That's the decision point. That's the place where we are faced with that problem, and how do we respond? How do we react to that problem? Specifically concerning the question the problem that I mentioned earlier about forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, how some people just quit meeting together and they say, well, it's me and my family that meet in the home. I don't believe that's God's will at all, especially not when you look at the scripture. And one of those scriptures is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. he talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10. This is some of the direction we can find when we find this problem of when they have the problem they attempted to just simply stay at home, and you're at that crossroad, this is some direction for you. In verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know, our roots are deep. They're in Christ Jesus without wavering. There's no unsettledness there. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Very clear direction what to do. When we find ourselves in a situation where there's a lot of people losing out in their faith, losing out in their walk with the Lord, losing out in these things, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let's rather let our roots go deep in those times and let our connections grow stronger towards one another and towards the Lord instead of doing what's so natural for the human mind to do is to recoil and to pull back, and at a time when you need to most step forward and pour your heart into your relationship with God and with others. What's so natural, what naturally can happen is for us, maybe one way seems a little easier than the other, and we take the way that's easy for the flesh. And but the end thereof is really destruction, like the Bible talks about too. So we're at that place of decision. And we're at the place of when we're facing perilous times, things that are difficult for us. I'd like to dwell more on the security and rest, the rest that we can find in Jesus Christ. If we have our roots grounded where Peter did there in John chapter 6, it says, "To whom, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." Brothers and sisters, how convinced are you this morning that Jesus has the words of eternal life? How convinced are you, really, that everything that you need is found in Jesus Christ? Everything that you're looking for, everything that you're longing for, really, the peace, the joy, the life that you're looking for is only found in Jesus Christ. When we make that right choice, the right choice of following Jesus, it does bring rest to our soul. Peter saw all these others making their choices. And we all have a choice to make. They were making their choice, but he was settled. He said, "Jesus, who else can we go to but you? Who else can we go to but you? There's no other place for us to find that security and to find that rest but Jesus, in Jesus Christ." Jesus also said that they that endure to the end will be saved. You know, we can start out with a good beginning. We can have made a lot of confessions. We can have done a lot of repenting. But unless we endure, unless we go all the way, it really doesn't bring that security and the rest to our soul. Let's turn to 1 John 5:9. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. Thinking about Jesus Christ and the words of eternal life. In him are found those words of eternal life. He is life. He is truth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 through 13 there. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, that God, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here, it very clearly says in verse 11, it says, and this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's where the life and the security and the sure foundation is found in Jesus Christ. There is no other. Like Paul says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's where our only hope and our only help is. And we can respond with Peter saying, where else can we go? What other hope do we have than Jesus Christ? You know, there's many people that they try to get that reassurance from their friend. They get that reassurance, you know, reach out. We want to have that, maybe that pat on the back that you're doing a good job. You're doing good work. What you're doing is right. But God's Spirit will witness within us if we are walking with him. God's Spirit will witness. And also, I believe the brotherhood will witness that as well in our lives as we open ourselves to that. I believe God speaks through the brotherhood as well in that way. But God's words, they are spirit and they are life, just like Peter said. And the Son, he is life. Jesus Christ is life. And if we are anchored in him, we are sure. We don't have to doubt in any way. We don't have to waver when others are crumbling around us, when others are going astray. We don't have to be fearful. So, to whom shall we go? What do you think when you are faced with those things in your life? Where are your thoughts? What is the first thing that you think of when trouble hits home? When suddenly problems arise, the things that you only heard about hit home, when the things that really that you never wished that would hit your life and never wished that you never would have to face, what is your response? What is your response? What is our response? What is my response? You know, sometimes we don't respond right. And the best thing for us to do when we don't respond right is to just simply come back. Come back to that crossroad. When I'm driving on the road, it's very quite a simple answer. If I turn left, then I should have turned right. Come back to that crossroad. Come back to that place again and make the right choice. You know, the same thing is true with God's word. If we find ourselves going on the wrong way, as long as there's life, there's hope for us. We can go back to that crossroad. We can make a choice again. We can follow, we can turn to God and to right and to what he wants for us. But is your security in Christ? Are you convinced this morning where you would go? Are you convinced this morning where you would go, or where you want to go, or where you will go if you face those things? It's easy for us to say where we want to go when we're not facing hard things. It's a lot harder for us to make that choice perhaps when we face the hard thing ourselves or facing problems in our life. None of us have problems, do we? None of us have problems, right? Nobody has problems, right? I don't think that's true. I think all of us, maybe you don't have a problem this morning, and I'm glad if you don't. But all of us will face those things, especially older ones. Little ones maybe not feel those things as much. Two verses out of John, just really quick, and then I'd like to turn to Psalms. John 16, you can write this verse down, the reference. John 16, 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." This is Jesus speaking. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's what I would like you to go home with today. Is your anchor can be so sure, so deep, that even if everyone else turns their back on Christ, I am still following Christ. Where else can we go? Where else is my hope? Where else can I find what I need? It's in Jesus Christ. No other thing. Be of good. These are his words. You are going to face tribulation. You're going to face hard things. You're going to face things that are not pleasant. You're going to even face, and it was in context of some of the false prophets, I believe. I'm not quite sure. In that, it was in the context of hard things that they were going to be facing that Jesus was talking about. But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." To me, that speaks of security and rest. Death brings fear and turmoil. Life brings peace and rest and security. Jesus Christ is that life. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, if you would, there. Are you convinced? Is your anchor down deep this morning? What shall we do? What will I do? To whom shall we go? You're facing a dilemma. You're at a point of decision. What shall we do? Psalm 73, verse 24 through 26 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength, is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but thee?" Who else do I have to turn to but you? And even here on this earth, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Where are we this morning? What shall we do? What will I do? We're faced with problems. We're faced with things, and maybe in our own personal life. Maybe it's in our relationships. Maybe it's in our thought life. Whatever that dilemma is. Maybe it's a habit, a bad habit, a sinful habit, is something that we are faced with. What are we going to do? We're at that crossroad, that place of decision. Where will we go for help? Where are we going to go for help? Whom have I in heaven but thee? David was convinced. He was like, before that he says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory." He knew, God, you're going to guide me through life. And I trust you for that. And afterwards, you're going to take me to glory. You're going to guide me all the way through. That confidence, that trust was in the Lord. Where else can we go? Like the disciples, like Peter said, to whom shall we go but to you? Is that settled in your heart this morning? Where else? Where are you going to look for next? Because you're not quite satisfied. You're going to go... Maybe if I would just make friends with that other person over there, Or maybe if I would just go to Bible school maybe again, maybe that would meet the need that I have in my heart. Or maybe if that person would just get out of my life, you know, maybe that's our attitude. What is our response when we face that dilemma, that situation, that problem, that place of decision? What is my response? To whom? Where else can we go but to the Lord? Jesus alone can meet that. In closing, I'd like for us to turn to Romans chapter 8. Jesus, the heart of God, and Jesus are to bring rest to our soul, and that we would find everything, completely everything that we need in Jesus Christ and in His Word and in His will, His purpose for our life, that we would find it all in Him. Romans chapter 8, a very, very familiar passage, nothing new to any of us, but is it settled in your heart this morning? Verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, as we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Are you convinced this morning? Are you convinced this morning? Where shall I go? What shall I do when others walk away, when others are not faithful to the Lord? What is my response? What will I do? Am I convinced that my anchor is in Christ and in none other? Am I convinced of that? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall distress? Those hard things, that dilemma, that hard problem that we're faced with, is that what's going to separate us? Is that when we're at that point of decision, when we're at that place of, maybe it's that place of unrest? Maybe it's that place of unrest. Have we found Jesus to be everything? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. In verse 37, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." When Peter was so convinced, he said, he was like, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else can we go?" He was convinced that Jesus was able to see him through even whatever they were going to face. And I know even one time he made that claim to Jesus there right before Jesus was crucified, which Peter didn't know even what all was going on in his own heart. Peter didn't even know what even the weakness of his own self. He made a claim that he would be faithful, go all the way through to the end. And that was reminds me of what Jesus also said: "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." But his faith in the end saw him through, though. Even with that failure of not staying with the Lord and also denying the Lord, his faith in the Lord brought him to his knees afterward when he repented outside there and wept bitterly for his wrong response. He came back to that crossroad and he realized, "I did not respond right." He came back to that place. And I think that's a good example for all of us. When we respond wrong, when we deny our Lord, when we maybe our faith is weakens because we see others drifting, we see others going the wrong way, that we come back to that crossroad again in repentance and tears, like Peter did, and he came back on the track, and he followed the Lord. Later on in his life, he went with the Lord all the way to his death. He died for the Lord. To whom shall we go was Peter's question. Where else can we go? He found his anchor. He found his hope in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, that's where we will find our anchor. That's where we will find our help. That's where we will find our hope, regardless what life circumstances bring our way. It doesn't matter who it is, how close a family member, how close a friend it is. When they fail us, Jesus can still help us through, and Jesus can still help us to go on and to be faithful and to keep his commands all the way, everything. Just because a brother fails does not mean that I need to give up, does not mean that we need to give up. It rather is a call for us to go deeper. Let our lives be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ. So a question I'd like to leave with you this morning. Peter asked the question, to whom shall we go? I'd like to just close with these two questions. Where will you go? Where will you go when you face that dilemma? What's your response going to be? And also, will you continue to follow Jesus, even when those hard times come? Will you follow him by faith, like Peter did? Yes, Lord. And maybe our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Maybe we respond very quickly with our mouth. Maybe we find ourselves failing tomorrow. I would just like to encourage us, let's go back to our knees. Let's go back to our knees and open ourselves before the Lord and open ourselves before each other. God has a way for us. God wants us to live in victory. We can live and be more than conquerors through him if our anchor is in Jesus Christ. Where else can we go? What other hope do we have but Jesus Christ? That's our hope. I just want to bless you all. And maybe we could just kneel for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do humble ourselves here before you. God, where can we go but to you, Lord? You are our only hope, our only help. And Lord, we just pray, Father, here together as a congregation, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would be Lord of our life. I pray that you would take us by the hand, Lord. I pray that you would be the head of the church, Lord, and that you would be exalted, you would be lifted up. And God, just like we sang about here just before the message, God, that you take that royal throne, Lord, that you take that royal place, Lord. God, I pray that you would do that in each one of our hearts, God, this morning. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Forgive us, God, where we've failed you, and Lord, where we've not put our anchor in you, Lord, not put our trust in you. I pray, Father, you would just help us this morning to allow your word to take root in our heart and that we would be willing to go all the way, even if it means to suffer for you, Lord, even if it means that we maybe even aren't so much appreciated, Father. I pray that you would just help us, God, to be faithful to you, Lord, to honor you and to love you, Lord, not to be ashamed of you. But Lord, also fill our hearts with a deep love for each other, Lord. God, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and that your name would be exalted, God. Where else can we go but to you? You are our hope. You are our rock. You are our shelter. And Lord, we just look to you this morning. Bless the congregation. Bless each one, Lord, each one where we have need, God. We just are here before you as needy creatures, and Lord, also desiring, God, to just to allow you to speak to us where we have need, Lord, that we would open ourselves to you and also to one another, Lord. I just pray that we could experience that this afternoon, Lord. Thank you, God, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.